Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Regardless, we go out to the fan hotline and welcome in our next guest for today. He, of course, is your color analyst as part of the Browns broadcast on the Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Nathan Zagura joining us on the show. Nathan, appreciate you giving us some time today, my man. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
So first off, Nathan, we know the conversations right now with the Browns revolve a ton around just the offense and what's gone wrong, and especially the quarterback position. And there's talk about a potential quarterback change. I'm just curious, from your perspective, what do you think is the biggest problem with this offense right now?
Well, I just think that you haven't been able to get the passing game going, you know, at a level that you need to compete in the National Football League, and, you know, more kind of similar, or I guess maybe even more basic than that, is that you aren't scoring enough points, right? I mean, this is a team that has not scored 20 points in a game yet this season. It's a team that, you know, if you go back all the way till the end of 2023, hasn't scored 20.
That hasn't been quarterbacked by Jameis Winston since that Thursday night win against the Jets with Joe Flacco at quarterback. So you're just not scoring enough points. And obviously the offensive line play is a big issue. You saw they went out and made a trade today to try to bring in a veteran tackle. That's been a problem, but it's been a lot of things. Drops have been a problem. Turnovers remain. The Browns have turned the ball over multiple times in 10 of their last 11 games. They have lost the turnover battle in 10 of their last 11 games. And you can't win in the National Football League when you do those things.
Nathan, obviously, Kevin's fancy today, non-committal at quarterback. Is that something it feels like this team needs right now, is just a change of that position to try to find some kind of spark?
You know, that's certainly, that's going to be the coaching staff's decision on that one. I think that when you look at overall in a big picture situation, and it certainly is not, you know, Joe Flacco's fault singularly. He didn't drop some of the passes that have been dropped that, you know, perhaps could have changed outcomes in Cincinnati or in Detroit. He certainly is not the one kicking. He's not protecting for himself, all of those things. But when you are a team that has, you know, struggled to put enough points on the board, and you have a quarterback whose, you know, rating is lower than you'd like, his touchdown interception ratio is lower than you like, his yards per attempt are lower than you'd like, that I think you have to explore all options, because I think you understand that what we've been doing on offense thus far through four games is not going to be good enough for this team to be successful. And this is a team that quite frankly should be successful, because you've got the best defense on the planet right now. And unfortunately, you know, you're 1-3 when you have a defense that's that good historically. You know, teams with the number one defense average around 11 wins a game a season. Teams with the number one defense have never been below 500. And so this is an offense that needs to pick up its play. And I think when you look at all those factors, you understand why you'd have a conversation about, you know, do we need to make a change?
Along those lines, Nathan, and then just talking about all the issues on offense right now, another big problem has been just the drops from wide receivers. And I think, you know, Jerry Jeudy spoke to that yesterday with the big drop that he had on that 3rd-and-7. And that's been an issue for him really since the start of the season. I guess I'm curious, from his standpoint specifically, is it something you think more so where it's just Jerry not performing to the level that he's capable of, or do you think it has to do more with like quarterback or chemistry between receiver and quarterback?
I don't think it has anything to do with the chemistry, because if you would come out to Berea, you know, at any point this offseason, or you were with us when we were in Philadelphia in the joint practices, or you were with us in Charlotte when we were in the joint practice in Carolina, I mean, it was Flacco to Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
I mean, and they had great chemistry, and they were in a great rhythm. So I don't think it's the chemistry. I mean, the ball's being put there. He's just got to make the plays. And unfortunately, at times, he hasn't. You know, I love that first drive. I've been wanting to get him going early in games, and the Browns did on that first drive. He had all three of his catches on that opening drive, and you're saying, okay, this is going to be a big Jerry Jeudy game. We're going to get him back over 100 yards. We're going to kind of get in that rhythm. And then it unfortunately just never kind of materialized. And then in that moment when he had a chance – to make that big catch, he didn't. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. You look at from a Browns perspective over the last, you know, couple of seasons, you know, coming off of big years, 2 years, you know, in 23, Amari Cooper was coming off of a huge year. And then you go out and he had a strange kind of battle with the drops to start the 24 season. And then, you know, Jerry Jeudy had a huge 24 and then has come out this year and kind of started off in strange fashion with battling some of the drops. So, I don't know what it is. I know that he's going to work really hard to get it fixed, and I know that he was not happy about it. But, you know, you look at that Cincinnati game, and you look at certainly this game, and those drops have been massive. Not to say it would have changed the outcome here, but you go back to the end of the third quarter, you know, it's easy to just look at the score, but 34-10, it was a blowout by certainly any standard. But that wasn't the case. This was a game that late in the third and into the early fourth, you know, it was 20-10. The Browns have an opportunity to make a field goal to make it a one possession game, and Andre Schmidt misses it. Your defense then comes through again, gets forced into turnover on down. So you're like, all right, we've got some momentum back. We're going to get back in this game. Your offense, you have a drop by Harold Fannin on a very nice ball from Joe Flacco. Maybe could have been a little out ahead of him, but still certainly catchable for a big chunk play. And then you have the Jeudy one that probably would have been a touchdown had he caught it. And then you have those drops, so now you have to punt. You punt, and they run that kickback, and that kind of broke the game open 27-10. So it's just those little things that are adding up to be big things, and unfortunately for the Browns, that you know those are things that are the difference between winning and losing.
Obviously, we talked about, you know, offensive line Hayes struggled here. It feels like there's still an ability to run the ball there, at least a little bit. I mean, Quinshon goes for another nice day. Where is the solve for that? Because I think you look at, like, I can look at KT Levison. He hasn't been great statistically in the past game. He's been good in the run game. Where does the balance come in adding another tackle today?
Yeah, because you just need to get better in the pass game. And I think you look at, you know, the Browns. This is using Pro Football Focus. I'm not saying it's the only metric in town, and there's certain plenty other ways to look at it. And the film would probably tell you something similar. The eye test, which is this, that, you know, of the 80 tackles that have played 20% of their team snaps, Cornelius Lucas is the lowest graded pass blocking tackle in the NFL. And KT Levison is a few spots above him out of 80. So we have 80, and I think it was like 76, or in that range. You know, Cornelius Lucas has given up 28 pressures so far this season. The second most in the entire NFL is 18. The third most is 16. So he is on another stratosphere by himself. Now we face teams with unbelievable pass rushers. Aiden Hutchinson, you know, Trey Hendrickson. We face the Ravens, who have guys that can get after the quarterback. And then obviously 2 weeks ago is Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary. So it's been tough matchups, but, you know, we've got to do a better job. And then Cornelius Lucas is a guy who's been in the league since 2014. So he's not a spring chicken. Was often, you know, for a long time considered one of the best swing tackles in the league. And he's having a little bit of struggle. But yeah, the run game has been better with Quinshon Judkins, who is, he's just incredible in what he makes. Not only, you know, if you give him some space, the line, it's a 5 yard plus gain, could be a 30 yard gain. But if they get him to the line, and even when they don't, he just runs so hard and is able to pick up those yards after contact. He's been phenomenal.
Nathan Zagura joining us on the Fan Hotline. Nathan, the special teams have obviously been a colossal disaster this season beyond just the Packers game last week, where you get pretty much every perfect special teams play to win the game. I'm having a hard time understanding like what's not translating to the game field, because it's not just like the missed kicks. Like, obviously that's not Bubba Ventrone's fault that a kicker misses a kick. Like, that happens in this league. But, you know, it's things like Isaiah Bond when he was the sort of filling in for DeAndre Carter, fair catching a kick basically just like out of fear because he didn't really know what he was supposed to do. It's those types of things and the coaching that goes into it that I think have become problematic. Just what is not clicking? What is not registering for these guys when they get on the field and the special teams just can't come together and make the plays they need?
I don't know, but it's for a team that, you know, the formula had to be play great defense. You can say that we are doing that. run the football effectively. And I'd certainly say since Quinshon Judkins has been back, we've done that. You got to hit some shot plays down the field to pass game. Now we have not done that. And then you had to be at least neutral, if not positive, on special teams. And we certainly have not been that. I don't know what the problem is, but we've allowed a pretty big punt return in three of the four games this year. You know, the missed kicks, though, that happens. 56 yarder. I know that there are a lot. That's just not a layup. You would have liked it to go in, but the return and lack of generating any kind of momentum-changing returns of our own has been tough. I think we've done a very good job on kickoffs and covering kickoffs, but the punt return, I don't know, and it was a problem last year, too. If you remember back in week one, you know, Dallas had the big punt return that kind of broke that game open. So it's something that's got to be cleaned up, and for a Browns team that is struggling on offense like we know they are, you've got to be able to be neutral to even or really a positive on special teams. And if you look at kind of the expected points added right now for the Browns, it's been, you know, hugely negative on offense, hugely negative on special teams, and then hugely positive on defense. But the defense can't kind of overcome that enough because that's only one of the three phases.
Nathan, obviously with the defense playing so well as you just laid out and the offense special team struggling, how frustrating is that to sit there and be able to perform at the highest level and then, you know, not necessarily get the complimentary football that Kevin always talks to? How quick does frustration grow in that room?
They're professionals and they can only control what they can control, right? So I'm sure at some level it's human nature to get frustrated, but if you stay focused on your task at hand and you control what you can control, which is doing your 1/11th on every snap on defense and the defense playing at the level it has, you know, that's, I think, kind of what they have to do and hope that, you know, you can get some things to change in the other two phases. But that's the business. They're professionals. They're compensated very well. It is, as I said, human nature to get frustrated, but you got to just stay focused on doing your job and continuing to do that at a high level. And that's all you can control. You can't play offense. So you have to hope that, you know, everybody else kind of comes together and raises their level of play to match yours.
Nathan, the trip to London this week, obviously, how much, because we hear all the time about, like, there's different philosophies on you leave a week early or, like, you know, after your previous game, you just leave on Monday. You leave later in the week. You leave, like, 48 hours before. The Browns are obviously leaving Wednesday night. What is it about, like, the time change? Like, how much does that actually take a toll on these guys as they try to adjust and get ready for a football game? You know, if you could put that into perspective, because I don't know if people just watching the sport as fans always understand like the complexities of that, but it's taken very seriously in the league, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think the NFL did the Browns any favors at all with this stretch here. You're going to London and you're going to take on a Minnesota Vikings team that's been there, played in Ireland last week, and then you come home and you play a Pittsburgh Steelers team that's coming off of a bye. So I don't think the NFL.
I forgot about the Steelers bye. That's a good, yeah, you're right about that.
It's kind of ridiculous. Now, from a Browns perspective, you know, I've only done this once in 2017, went with the team when we went out there. And by Sunday, you felt kind of acclimated to the clock over there pretty well. You know, you'll fly through the night Wednesday. You'll get there on Thursday. They'll have a practice or kind of a walkthrough Thursday afternoon. They'll have a real practice Friday, a walkthrough Saturday, game Sunday. By then, you're pretty well acclimated. I always think it's a lot easier to go, you know, east than it is to go west. Sometimes going west, it's so hard to stay up late enough to get back onto that clock. Whereas going east, you can kind of, you know, get yourself on clock. It's a tough thing. Teams do it in different ways. I think that these London games you've often kind of seen in the past or these international games that it's just important to start fast. If you can start fast, sometimes teams are saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm not too into this. And I think that will be really important for this Browns team, but they should be acclimated. Again, they just have to talk about it. I don't actually have to go do it. So I remember last time by Sunday, I felt pretty, you know, on clock, but again, I wasn't being chased by 300-pound men trying to smoke me. So it's a little bit different.
What's the tourist activity that when you get some free time, you absolutely are going to be taking advantage of in London?
So it's tough. You know, last time we went, I actually was staying in London, so it was a lot easier to go to, you know, Tower of London, which I think is so cool, and, you know, go see Big Ben, and you can see there's so much to do. It's an incredible city. But this time, we're actually a good ways out of the city. So I don't know if I'm even going to get into London. I'd like to. We'll just see what the schedule allows. But if I do, I think the Tower of London is just cool. The history that's there is fascinating, and so that's something I always like to go check out.
I assume they have Uber in London, right? Is that a thing over there?
I would imagine they have. So, well, they have the famous black cabs that are so good.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm sure we'll be able to get rides. Just that London, I don't know exactly how long it'll take to get, and that's one of the things we're going to kind of scout out as we get over there and see what we're able to do.
I've been to London one time. I was like 3 years old. My mom has a picture of me asleep on the floor of one of those taxi cabs, which is actually really gross when you think about it. So
especially
after COVID and all that. Nathan, we appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes here on a Monday. I'll see you out in Berea on Wednesday, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Nathan. All
right, you got it, guys. Thank you.
Nathan Zagura joining us on the Fan Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say in response to our questions about what's wrong with the offense and quarterback changes and all those things. Plus, actually, I know. I got it now.
We also asked
Nathan about Jerry Jeudy. Have you lost faith that he can be the Browns' number one wide receiver? We'll talk about all that and more coming up on the Fan. I think he always has some really good insight into different things, and I thought his breakdown of what's going wrong on offense right now and some of the bigger issues. He highlighted the offensive line. You asked him about the quarterback change, and he admitted what we've talked about all show. Like, it hasn't been good. There's a baseline of what you're kind of coming to expect. The pass game down the field isn't there, and you're not going to win a lot of football games if those things aren't working. So,
yeah, I was honestly surprised Nathan's answer. We were talking about it before he got on air. The offensive lineman, like, I knew Cornelius Lucas had been bad.
Yeah.
That was clear and evident. I didn't realize that. You know, when he talked about, you know, pressures allowed, 28 to the next guy below you being at 16, like, that's not just bad. That's, like, unplayable.
Yeah, he said he was in, like, his own stratosphere on that one, which he's right. I'm surprised, too.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Because this is another thing we talked about. Like, Cornelius Lucas, when they signed him, I actually thought I went back and watched some of his tape from the Commanders last year, and he actually started a lot of games at left tackle for them, and it seemed like he kind of held his own. I'm not saying it was great, but as swing tackles go, you knew this was like your first guy up if other guys got hurt. I was like, okay, I feel pretty good about him being your swing tackle, and his PFF grades, at least in pass blocking, were pretty good. He has been a turnstile, though, this year. I mean, even in the Detroit game yesterday, I haven't gotten to go back and watch the entire thing yet. I watched some of it again last night. But, like, there was plays where he was getting help with chips from tight ends or whatever. And the whether it was Aiden Hutchinson or somebody else, they would still, like, get to him. And it was just like there was nobody. Like, you were better off having a traffic cone there. And it would have slowed him down. Like, it was crazy. Even with chips, he's been terrible. Yeah, I've been surprised by that because I thought that was a pretty good addition. This honestly, Jake, we talk so much about this team trying to find a quarterback next year. I think what's kind of gotten lost in the weeds, though, is that they're going to have to remake their entire offensive line most likely next year.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're talking legitimately about probably being without Joe Batonio is probably, I don't want to say it's fair.
Assuming he retires, yeah.
Like, I don't want to
Wyatt Teller's in the last year of his deal. He is the one I could see them being like, well, we need to have some stability here. Let's bring him back.
Yeah, Jack Conklin, last year of his deal, right?
Like, they're not bringing him back. He can't stay healthy. Every time I tweet about how he's inactive, I get somebody in my comments like, oh, Mr. Made of Glass, not playing again. Like, he can't stay on the field. Ethan Posick is in the last year of his deal. Maybe they could bring him back too. Like, I'm sure they will retain somebody of this group because you don't want to just...
DeJuan Jones will be back. We know that.
Yeah. But again, another guy that can't stay healthy. So yeah. What do you do with that? You know, I think like they have a lot of questions there. So they're going to have to retain somebody because they don't want to make the entire thing over from scratch. But there's a lot of needs up front as much as there's a need a quarterback. And so as you think about like priorities and things they're going to have to address this offseason, like those two first round picks they have, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes quarterback, offensive lineman, or if Dylan Gabriel plays well and they're like, yeah, we'll wait on, we're not going to take a quarterback. We're going to bank on him. Offensive lineman, receiver.
Yep.
Like there's a lot of needs for this team on the offensive side. That's not a secret. That was the case this year too. But like it's people aren't talking enough, I don't think, about how the offensive line is also going to have to be overhauled this offseason. That's going to be a big undertaking. So speaking of the receivers, though, and the Browns' need for them, Jerry Jeudy obviously has struggled this year. Had another drop yesterday. Nathan mentioned probably goes for a touchdown. If he catches it, he is near the top of the league in drops this year in total. It just has not been the follow-up act that he was hoping for after setting his career highs last year. He had the profanity-laced tirade. Do we have that, by the way? After the game yesterday where he basically was, you know, talking about how frustrated he was that he can't seem to hang on to the football. And Nathan said it's not a chemistry thing. It's just about Jerry not performing. I think at this point, because this was always part of Jerry when they traded for him that people talked about. It was the idea that, like, in Denver, he had some drops and it was a problem. But have you completely lost faith now in Jerry as, like, the number one wide receiver on this team? Or do you think this is just, like, a phase that he could snap out of?
I think it's, like, I don't think he's as bad as he's showing right now, obviously. Like, we saw that last year. He can be better than this. My main thing is, like, I think I look at Jerry and it's the inconsistencies that tell me you might be the best receiver on this team right now, but you're not a wide receiver one, right? Like, this is sort of the proving ground of it. You had the opportunity. You looked like one last year. It was go do it again. You're not living up to it. You're not getting great quarterback play, but had enough passes hit him in the hands and fall to the ground where, okay, Jerry, this is what makes you the wide receiver one, right? Yeah. It's not just that you have a great quarterback, which, again, you didn't last year. You had a volume, but you didn't have a great quarterback. But you got to bring in the targets that come your way. I think the number that I heard, he had 30 targets so far this season. I think he has 13 catches. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
No matter what, no matter how bad of quarterback play you're getting, 30 targets should be more than 13 catches. Like that is not a good enough number. So if you tell me Jerry Jeudy's going to stay on the roster, it's not like he's getting paid some absurd amount of money, right? Like they signed him to an extension early for basically this exact reason, where if Jerry doesn't look great, he looks like he's underpaid rather than, or if he does look great, I mean, he looks underpaid rather than overpaid. If you make him a wide receiver too, that's probably the best version of Jerry you get.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he hasn't helped me because I was the one banging the drum saying he is a wide receiver one, saying that I thought he was going to replicate and do better than what he did performance-wise from last year. And I feel adamant that, like, he can still be that guy. You know, you saw it last year with the quarterback play he had. He made all the necessary plays, and he made big plays at times. And what's frustrating with this iteration of the Browns is we talked all offseason about how Jerry was the one guy you could trust and that he was going to have to make plays in the passing game for this team because you didn't know if you could rely on Jamari Thrash. You didn't know if you could rely on Cedric Tillman. We didn't know Isaiah Bond was going to be part of this picture at that point. He made a couple of good plays yesterday. There was maybe some positives there.
That catch on the sideline, by the way.
Yeah, it was really good.
That was very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's made a few plays that maybe make us think there's a role for him in this offense. There's going to be a bigger one anyway because Cedric Tillman's supposed to be out a couple weeks now with this hamstring injury. But like Jerry was supposed to be the one that you could count on. And I think that's just added a layer of frustration. Everyone knew this year was going to be frustrating from an offensive standpoint in particular. But when Jerry's then not making those plays, it's like, it's mind-numbing because you know what he's capable of. You saw it last year. And he is so important to this offense that when he's not even making the plays, like, what else is this team supposed to do? And it's why, you know, the quarterback conversation gets baked in so many different things because those are instances, that ball he threw to Jerry Jeudy yesterday, Flacco, was perfect.
Yeah.
And you're seeing, and I know to Nathan's point, I've been to practice pretty much every day from training camp on. Like, the chemistry's been fine. He would throw some tight window throws and Jerry makes the catch and you're like, oh man, cool. Like, these guys are going to pick up where him and Amari Cooper left off in 2023. At least it looked that way. It's just not happening on the field. So I agree. It seems more just about like in his own head performance type thing. He's just got to make the catches. But man, like I had such high hopes for him to continue on building on what he did last year. And I understand why people are frustrated. I don't think it has to mean that it's the end of Jerry Jeudy or that he can't be that wide receiver one still. But he's not off to a good start this year in, you know, proving everybody after, like, the reason people aren't giving him that respect or didn't give him that respect at the beginning of the year was because he hasn't done it enough yet. And he needed sort of a follow-up season that was similar for people to buy into, yeah, he can be the guy. And he just isn't doing that to this point, obviously.
I think a lot of that conversation around, like, can you be a wide receiver one if you're Jerry, though, is, like, again, it's the consistency of it, but I don't know what changes in this offense that gives you the opportunity to be what you were last year. Like, even if he looked good this year, Spencer, I told you, I thought there was going to be a dip in production, right? Because they were going to run the football more. They weren't going to be throwing it. And Joe is certainly not airing it out the way that Jameis was airing it out. Even Joe the last 2 years wasn't airing it out the way that Jameis airs it out.
Right.
So there was always an element of there's going to be a production dip. It's not like as the season goes on, Jerry's targets increase and this team unleashes from the passing game perspective. That's not what this offense is. So I think the conversation about, like, I'm pretty decided on at least the way that we're going to have to view it going for the rest of this year and into next year is going to be Jerry Jeudy's not a wide receiver one until he goes out and proves to you he's a wide receiver one, which, again, the opportunity's not going to be there this year.
Yeah, I mean, I went off the one season and said I think he showed he can be. I understand, though, where people want to see the evidence of it back-to-back years. And the best wide receivers do that, put up those types of numbers consistently. So if he's going to do it, he has to get there. He's not off to a good start this year. I think this also, going back to what we were talking about earlier, it points to maybe another glaring need that this team's going to have in the offseason. Is if Jerry Jeudy's not a wide receiver one, who do you need to draft a guy to put with them? Do you need to trade for somebody? Do you need to sign somebody in free agency? How do you sort of assemble that wide receiver room going into next year? I know we're already talking about next year, which is sad, but it's another need for this team potentially, depending on how the rest of the season goes for Jerry. Hopefully he can snap out of it. I hope it doesn't mean everyone's lost faith in him as the wide receiver one. It's only been 4 weeks, but there's been more good than bad here in Cleveland. I hope that's the thing people can hang their hat on with him, but obviously it's a disastrous start and it looks more like the Jerry Jeudy from Denver, which is problematic, obviously. 216-474-0092. If you want to jump in here, final hour 20 of the show coming up. Jake is over 1 o'clock games. I'm confused though, why Guardians fans still care. We'll talk about it coming up. Here on 92 to the Fan. Once again, the Guardians got snubbed schedule-wise for this wildcard round as they play all 1 o'clock games against the Detroit Tigers. First of all,
they didn't get snubbed. They rightfully got put in the earlier slot of games. That is the correct way.
So it's not getting snubbed.
No, they didn't get snubbed. How are you going to tell me that? Like, okay.
I shouldn't have said snub because I don't really care. Like, it's not really snubbed to me. I just was saying that because I think that sometimes that's how people feel.
Yeah, but okay, let's be realistic about it. Do you want to see the Guardians and the Tigers from a national perspective, right? Take us out of it. Would you rather see the Nationals or the Nationals? You definitely don't want to see the Nationals. You would rather see the Tigers and the Guardians
the
play.
I was
thinking
play,
the National League.
The Nationals can play. Thanks for reminding me.
The Nationals can play at 9 a.m. That's when their theme starts.
They can play at 3 a.m. 11:30 a.m. games this season. I don't understand, but every day I felt like I was getting notifications for like 11 a.m. Like, Nationals has started.
And that's a good time for them. They're like, people are eating lunch.
They had to put them on national TV somehow, and they're like, I'll throw them on like Peacock. Or whatever that is in the morning at this point, and just be like, national, everyone can watch it.
But
if it's Guardians Tigers, which again is going to be a pitcher's duel mostly through, both offenses haven't been that great. Guardians are the worst ranked batting average offense to basically ever make the playoffs, I think. And then you look on the other side, and it's the Yankees and the Red Sox. The national perspective, the poll is Yankees, Red Sox. I think we can all step away and go, should in theory be the more exciting, the better series to a lot of people around. They should get the later slot.
I feel like I hear from people.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Well, maybe it's just living in Cleveland. I don't know. I could just be, you know, this could be like a confirmation bias thing based off of where I live. But I feel like people always say, like, why do people think that people care to watch the Red Sox and Yankees? Like, nobody cares about the Red Sox and Yankees. The baseball seems to think they care. I obviously care, but I don't know that everybody else cares. Regardless, I'm curious because when we had Daryl on earlier, you asked him about the 1 o'clock starts, and it sounded like you were upset that they got 1 o'clock starts. But now it sounds like you're like, I get why they did it. It's cool. Whatever.
No, out of the time slots available, I get why we got the 1 o'clock because, again, it was that or prime time, you know, right in the middle. I don't remember what time. Yankees, Red Sox at 6, 7 o'clock, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think they usually do like 1 at 1, 1 at 3, and then once they sort of space them out, and then like they go like 6, 7, or 6, 9 or whatever.
Yeah. But okay, so it's fine. Like, I get we get the earlier slot. My question is, why the hell are we playing baseball at 1 o'clock? Like, and again, if it's like a Saturday, I get it. Totally fine. Don't have a problem with it. It's a Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Everybody is in. Like, why can't you just make the early game like 3, right? 4? Like they
could do
allergic.
Like 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock. It's spacing out all out by 2 hours.
Yes, yeah, so why are we playing a game at 1 o'clock?
I get what you're saying. There's no point to play baseball at 1. You more so have a problem with like the schedule being set that way than the Guardians being in the 1 o'clock time slot.
Yeah, like
I thought that's what you were alluding to, because I had this whole rant ready where every year we do this. Every year the Guardians make the playoffs because that's their baseline. And then every year they get put in the 1 o'clock games and people call in and they're mad and they're like, why do we always get the 1 o'clock games? Now, I will say this. I feel like if you make the playoffs and, you know, I think every team, every series should be guaranteed like one primetime game. So I think, like, tonight, if you want to do that schedule tomorrow, okay, fine. Or even if you want to move it back like your model was, fine. Maybe the next day you put the Guardians and Tigers at 7 and you put the Red Sox and Yankees. Because you also could argue that even if the Red Sox and Yankees are at 3 o'clock, people are still going to tune in because it's the Red Sox and Yankees.
Right.
So I think you should guarantee these that the teams get at least one primetime game and it's not just all 1 o'clock games. But I just think... I'm just kind of over like fans getting mad about the time slots that the Guardians get to play in the playoffs, because they make it every year. We have the same, we go around and around and around again having this conversation. And I honestly thought at this point it would just become like this badge of honor, because Cleveland, Cleveland fans are notorious for like, the national media doesn't like you. Okay. So you wear that and you say, fine, we'll prove them wrong. And it becomes like this Cleveland against the world thing. I think at this point, the 1 o'clock start should just be that. But I also, as I go on this rant, now realize that that wasn't actually what you were alluding to. I thought you were going to complain about the 1 o'clock starts because you don't like the Guardians playing at 1 o'clock. But
no, I mean, I don't. But if it's between the two teams, like I don't agree with it necessarily. Like I think actually Guardians and Tigers could very well plan out to be a better series than Yankees Red Sox. Like there's a world in which that does that. We talked about the Red Sox pitching off the air earlier today. Like, Lucas Giolito's not available. It is Garrett Crochet and Brian Bello, and then they might go a bullpen game if it gets to game 3. That is horrendous baseball to be watching at 7 o'clock. If I had to watch Red Sox bullpen game
Garrett
for
Crochet's
their life.
Garrett Crochet's a good start.
No, he's good. He's very good. Brian Bello's fine. If I have to watch game 3, like, if these...
I mean, how many teams though have like... I mean, you just said the Tigers rotation's garbage.
Yeah, they are garbage.
So it's the same thing.
But, at least they have two starters they're probably going to put out there. But, like... I don't know. Again, there's interesting. You can make the claim for the Guardians, the run that they've been on, but part of that plays into the Tigers too. But I get that side of it. Like, there's no way you can tell me that right now you're getting better numbers from putting the game at 1 o'clock than if you would have just put them at 3 and spaced them out by 2 hours instead of 3.
That is the thing I can understand is like when you put a game at 1 o'clock in the playoffs, it does kind of feel like you're just like, let's put the game that we don't care about. Like,
yes.
If you at least bumped it down, it would at least make it seem like you were caring about all the playoff games. But like 1 o'clock is such a throwaway time. You're right about that.
Like on a Tuesday.
But I just think at this point, Guardians fans should just wear it and be like, All right, fine. They want to put us at 1 o'clock. Then we'll just keep on winning so that at some point they have to put us in and we'll prove everybody wrong that the Guardians are the hottest team in baseball right now and they're going to win the World Series. Boom.
I just think it's bad for baseball fans. Like, again, yeah. People are going to have to take off of, like, and you'll do it. I mean, Guardians fans are going to show up, but it's going to be having to take off work to get to this, having, you know, to call your kid out of school to get to these games. Like, yeah, it works.
Nick Wilson's probably going to call in sick again so he can go to the game.
That would make sense. I mean, maybe he was just getting ahead of the curve. Maybe he's like, I need to go watch the Guardians.
Well, he probably thought it wouldn't be believable if I just call in on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, right.
So I got to call in Monday first, and then I can prolong it into Tuesday, and then I can get to the game. That's actually smart thinking by
him. That would have been a very good thought process. Maybe we're uncovering it now.
It's not about feeling like the Guardians got snubbed necessarily. Do you feel like the Guardians got snubbed when they were placed or they were ranked 11th in the MLB power rankings entering the 2025 postseason? Reds were 12th, Tigers 10th, one spot above the Guardians, despite the fact that the Guardians have owned them lately. Red Sox are 9th, Padres are 8th, Cubs are 7th, Blue Jays are 6th, Yankees are 5th. I think that leaves, I forgot about the Mariners. The Brewers are 4th, the Mariners are 3rd, the Dodgers are 2nd, and the Phillies are 1st.
In a way, yes. I guess, like, I don't understand the massive gap between, like, you and the Blue Jays. Well, the Blue Jays have been a better team over the course of the year. They've put together a 91-win season,
I think, is what they closed out at. I think they base this off of, like, where the last round of power rankings were at the end of the regular season. So they do this every week. So it's, like, basically, like, now they're just cutting it down to 12 teams and saying, all right, these are only 12 teams left, so let's rank them based off of where they are. And what I find interesting about that is, like, if you're going off of last week, shouldn't the Guardians have been pretty high, like being the hottest team in baseball? I don't know what the power ranking was last week. I'm just saying I feel like they should be.
Yeah, I mean, if you're telling me, like, how are the Tigers higher on the... That is the thing that blows my mind. So I absolutely have a problem with 11. How are you telling me that the team that hasn't won jack since the second half of the season, literally after the All-Star break, have been horrendous, is somehow a better power ranked team right now? They have a better chance to make it farther in the playoffs than the team that has been scorching hot for the month of September.
Are the Guardians being snubbed by baseball in more than one way? And do you actually care? Like, is it just the, like I said, maybe a badge of honor at this point that the Guardians continue to be underestimated? Let's go to Peter in Brunswick. What's up, Peter?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm totally like upset about the 1 o'clock game. I mean, yeah, I got to work tomorrow and I wish I could, you know, take off. I'm not going to waste a PTO day to go watch a wild card game. I'll be watching, listening. I kind of like it because we're always the underdogs. I mean, I don't know why the Tribe Tiger series is not like must watch TV, especially all the drama towards the end of the year. We literally chase them down 15 and a half games most of all time. I would like to be shown a little respect. I mean, like you guys mentioned, why not push it to like 3, maybe even like a 5 o'clock game? I just don't get it. It's been happening for how long now? I mean, even when we were in the ALDS, or was it the ALCS last year versus the Tigers, we're playing games Saturday at 1 o'clock. I mean, sure, nice, it's a Saturday, but I'd still like to see, like, under the lights, prime time, especially in Progressive Field. Like, there's just no atmosphere like that in baseball. Yeah. We saw it all week.
Yeah. No, good stuff, Peter. We appreciate the call. I'll say this, too. Peter's call made me think of this. I feel like at least baseball should play into, like, some of the storylines with these games a little bit. Like, I get first game, everyone's playing their best, throwing their best pitchers, but Tarik Skubal is a legitimate star. Like, he should be a star in this league. He's the best pitcher in baseball right now. And we always talk about baseball not doing a good job marketing their players. Are you really helping promote, like, who Tarik Skubal, your best pitcher, who's probably going to win the Cy Young, is in a couple weeks?
Oh, no, sure.
By putting him at 1 o'clock in, like, the West Coast, that's what, 10 a.m.?
Yeah, no, you're promoting it. They'll promote it next year when he pitches for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Or the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
But hopefully the Boston Red Sox, if we're being honest with us.
Yeah, hopefully the Dodgers.
216-474-992 if you want to jump in during the final hour of the show. We finally get to the league coming up. Plus, would the Browns make this decision just to give their fans a pound of flesh mid-season? We'll talk about it coming up here on 92 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.